Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
You know, tonight I'm going to start in Genesis 17. Genesis 17 chapter. And we'll begin there in just a minute. Father, thank you for your word tonight. That your word's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. David said that, you know, the entrance of your word gives light. And by it, your servant is warned. And so we thank you for your word just working in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Genesis 17, we're going to be talking about. Now, I'm going to, probably about three Wednesday nights. I'll be preaching three Wednesday nights this week. And so probably all three. I'll be talking about our covenant with God and how we have a covenant with God, which would be revelation to a lot of people. And I don't understand that because it ought to be obvious if you have a Bible. You don't even have to really read the Bible. All you have to do is just look on the, you know, at the beginning of the Bible. It says Old Covenant, right, or Old Testament. The word Testament is just an old English word for covenant. And it's more literally Old Covenant, really. But Testament's fine. But then you go to the new part and it says New Testament, New Covenant. Yeah. And so that ought to tell you there must be a covenant somewhere. Yeah. And so if there's a covenant, then how many know you want to know what the covenant says? Amen. Amen. And so what I want to talk about is our covenant with God. And, you know, let's go to Genesis chapter 17. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here. It says, and when Abram, would be Abraham, you know, since before his name was changed. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to him. He appeared to Abraham. So this is pretty significant right here if God appears to you. So it doesn't say how he appeared to him. It just says he appeared to him. And he said unto him, I am Almighty God. Glory to God. How would you like to have that happen? Walk before me and be thou perfect or upright, or some say blameless. So God does care how we walk before him, doesn't he? He wants us to walk. In other words, he's just saying, walk sincerely before me, Abraham. You know, Abraham wasn't perfect. I mean, he made his mistakes like everybody else. But he was sincere. Amen. Amen. And he was sincere before God. And I find that that's what God looks for. Amen. He doesn't look for perfect people. If he did, you know, I mean, who would he have left besides you? And I'm wondering about you now, all right? Now, let me know, God doesn't have any perfect people except Jesus, but he does have some sincere people.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. So you know, be thou perfect, or be sincere, or be committed, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, in this passage, I want to talk about and deal with where he said in verse 2, I'll make my covenant between me and you. In other words, there's going to be something between us. There's going to be a covenant between us. In other words, God was saying, Abraham, if you want to get to me, you'll have to come through the covenant. If I want to do things for you, it'll have to be through this covenant. We're going to have a relationship, a working relationship that's based on a covenant. Amen. And it was a covenant of blood. We're going to have a working relationship that's based on this covenant. Amen. Now, for me to get to you, I have to come through the covenant. For you to get to me, you got to come through the covenant. Right. Now, when I saw this over 30-some years ago, probably more closer to 40, when I saw this, it explained a lot of things to me. You know, you hear people say, well, if God's God, why doesn't he do this? Or why doesn't he do that? If God's love, how come there's people over here that have this tragedy? Or how come there's people that are over here that are without? Over here that are starving? How come God doesn't do something about that? Well, really, when you study the Bible, God, and this is going to sound not very religious, God just doesn't come and do anything he wants to do in the earth. Now, there is a scripture that's misinterpreted in the Psalms. It's in the Psalms in two places where it indicates that God sits in the heavens and He does whatever He pleases in heaven and earth. God does whatever He pleases. And that is true, but what you got to know is God's already done what He pleased. That's right. And He pleased to give a man by the name of Adam authority. Yep. Right. That's what He did. He gave man authority. Adam gave it away. He sold mankind. See, if people understood this, the plan of salvation is pretty simple. Look, God's not sending people to hell. But the point is you got to get out of the old Adam. That old Adam, he's under the dominion of the devil. And the devil's got control of him. I can tell you something right here. I don't have time to teach on it, but if you'll study your Bible a little closer, you'll find out that the Old Testament saints, when they died that knew God, they didn't go into heaven. They went to Sheol like the wicked did. They went to hell like the wicked did. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Several scriptures. Well, just think about one. How about the rich man and Lazarus? Weren't they in the same place? Sure, except the Bible says there was a great gulf fixed between them. The poor man, Lazarus, he's in Abraham's bosom. He's in a place of comfort. The rich man's in hell, but he can see over it. He saw Father Abraham, didn't he? Well, what's that? They're in the same place. It wasn't until Jesus paid the price and broke Satan's legal authority over mankind. Amen. That they were able to go to heaven. Satan still had a legal authority over them because the price hadn't been paid. But God said, no, they're not going into the place of punishment. These are people that follow me. They're going into paradise, a place of comfort. Amen. And that's what the Bible means in Ephesians, which says when he was raised from the dead, he led captivity captive. He went down there and got those people and took them to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's several scriptures that teach that if you're just looking for it. But anyway, my point was just to make it plain that when Adam sinned, Satan had dominion over mankind. God came down here. This is the whole reason why He's coming to make a covenant with Abraham is to get back in the earth and get man redeemed from the hand of the enemy. See, that's what Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, prophesied. He said he promised that he would redeem us from the hand of our enemies. Yeah. Hallelujah. And God did. Praise God. Amen. And He made a covenant. And there's a covenant between. So listen, the thing of it is God would like to do, He'd like to bless everybody. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I've told this before, but I thought it was really good. And I keep repeating it because I thought it was really good. I remember during 9/11 when all, the towers fell. And they had one of Billy Graham's daughters on one of these news programs. And they asked her, said, now, why did God allow this? Why did God allow this? Why didn't God stop this? They always want to know. They don't care anything about God until something happens. And they want to know what happened to God. Like pointing the finger. And I loved her answer. She said, well, you'll have to remember, we told God to get out of our nation. We told Him to get out of politics, get out of government, get out of the schools, get out of the universities. Just get out, God. And now we want Him to protect us? You better invite Him back in. He wants to protect you, but you better invite Him back in. And that's what God was doing with Abraham here. He was saying, I want back in the earth. I want to bless mankind. And I'm going to use you to get this thing started. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, Jesus came along and then, He told His disciples, this cup's the new covenant in My blood. See, that everything that we have today, did you know it initiated with Abraham? God's covenant with Abraham. That's why the Bible calls us we're the seed of Abraham. Seed of Abraham. What did Abraham have to do with it? God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham was the man. Listen now. Abraham was the man that God came and got actually got this the beginnings of this new covenant into the earth. Hallelujah.
Because I don't know why. Why Abraham? Well, I happen to believe Abraham was the first man that would walk apart from his five physical senses that God could find. Because God told him, you're going to have a son. And you're, you know, in your old age. And he believed it. The Bible said he believed the Lord. Most people wouldn't believe that. Amen. But Abraham did. Now, my point in saying this is I wanted to specifically bring out the word between. There's something between. In other words, for God to get to me, it's got to come through the covenant. Which now, see, I'm in the new covenant. You're in the new covenant. The Bible says it's a better covenant, established on better promises. Why? We got better promises, better high priest, better blood. That's why it's laughable when people say, well, you know, under this new covenant, we don't have healing. Well, they certainly had it under the old covenant. And you're going to tell me we got a better covenant and we lost our healing? No, I realize it's a better covenant because we got a lot of spiritual blessings that they didn't have. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. He's living on the inside of us. We're born again. Glory to God. It is a better covenant, but the point is we didn't lose part of it. We got it plus. Yes. Hallelujah. See, everything and everything that was in that old covenant, all the blessings, we got those plus.
Right.
Glory to God. Amen. But see, this helped me understand, you know, because people would say, well, why didn't God do this? Why didn't God protect them? A guy almost got in a fight with me one time over this. And after I was saved, I'm a preacher, all right? And, I mean, it got a little heated, you know. And he was an old friend of mine. He was an old friend. We used to run around. We used to do things together and all. And then one of our friends had died, you know, and he had crashed in a motorcycle. And it killed him, crashed his motorcycle and killed him. So I'm going to the funeral home, and I walk by this guy, and he called me by my last name. He goes, Pearl. Yeah. He said, you still a preacher? I said, yeah, still am. So he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I had a talk with that robed guy up there today. And I invited him to come down there and let's just get it on. And I thought, well, Robbie, if he did, you'd be a greasy spot. Better be glad he didn't take you up on that, you know. Yeah. And so he said, I want to know why he doesn't keep his flock. I said, well, I'll be one thing, which you couldn't tell. I mean, he's a sinner. He's just being what he is, you know. And of course, we knew one another from years back and so forth like that. And I said, you know, listen, here's the thing of it. Here's the thing. The guy in there in the funeral home, he wasn't in covenant with God. I said, God is in covenant to keep his flock, and he does keep his flock. And I said, let me ask you a question. Did God make him drink? He was drunk. He'd been drinking. He said, well, no. I said, did God make him drive his motorcycle way over the speed limit? Well, no. Okay. God didn't have anything to do with it. It was him and the devil. Are you with me now? Now, God wants to help everybody, but you got to get in relationship and covenant with him so he has a free hand to help you. Right? I'm only married to one person. I'm only in covenant, you know what I'm saying? Through marriage, to Miss Phyllis. You understand? I'm in covenant to take care of this woman. I'm in covenant to make sure she has a nice place to live. I'm in covenant to make sure she's got something to eat. I'm in covenant to make sure she's got clothing to wear. I'm in covenant with her to take care of, you know, we know it's God, but you understand I have a responsibility as the husband. I don't have that responsibility to any other lady. I'm in covenant. I have to mow her grass. Now, you might ask me, Pastor, would you mow my grass? You know, if I do, it'll just be out of the goodness of my heart. It won't cause because I'm in covenant with you. Because I'm only in covenant marriage to one person, right?
Amen.
Amen. See, do you see what I'm saying? God's in covenant with everybody who's been born again, who's entered into covenant with him.
Right.
When we get born again, we enter into covenant with God. Then he has a responsibility now to take care of us.
Right.
That's provided we keep our end of the covenant. And I know some people say, well, we don't have any end of the covenant. Well, yeah, God did it all. I understand that. But we have to obey and have faith. Right? See, Jesus told us when you pray, believe that you receive. So part of the covenant is you got to believe you receive when you pray, or else you don't get access to the covenant blessings. You got to do it the way God said do it. Not the way it makes sense to us, but the way God said do it. Sometimes things don't seem to make sense to us, and we want to, you know, I'm not accusing you, but sometimes we want to change things, and, well, this is the way I think it ought to be. Well, here's the way I think I'd do it if I was God. Well, guess what? You and I aren't God. And how many know God did it the best way, right? So he entered into covenant with Abraham, and there's a covenant between him. So for Abraham to get to God, he's got to come through the articles of the covenant. For God to get and work for Abraham, it's got to be through the articles of the covenant. The same thing's true with us today. We're in a new covenant with God through Jesus Christ. So for us to get to God, we got to come through what the covenant says. How many know this book is the what? New covenant. You want to know what your covenant is? Just read the new covenant. There it is. It's the new covenant. What do we got? We're going to find out what belongs to us, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to approach God, how things work, and what God will do for us. Right. It's all right in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we understand that. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, because this is a really good scripture. This one also enlightened me quite a bit as to why sometimes things don't happen for people that really should be happening for them. Ephesians chapter 2, go there. And let's read verse 11 and 12. You got it? Verse 11, "Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Now, you know, of course, if you're a Bible student, you know, this is talking about before we were born again. This is the state we were in before we were born again. Everybody say, before I was born again. Okay, here's where you were at before you were born again. Verse 12, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the covenant commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." All right. So if we are strangers to the covenant of God, we are without hope. There's no hope. And we are without God in the world. That is not a place I want to be. Not in this world. Not without God. Well, see, you understand, see, the person out there on the street, the regular out there on the street that doesn't know Jesus Christ, he doesn't have any hope. There's no hope. Right? See, there's a difference between what the world calls hope and what the Bible calls hope. Bible hope is an extreme expectation of good. The world's hope is wishful thinking. Huge difference, see. So he doesn't have any hope. And he is without God in this world. That is not a place to be. You understand? It's not that it's not like God saying, "I don't want anything to do with you." He's not in covenant with you. Mm-hmm. Right? Amen. He can't be doing things for you like he'd like to do. Amen. Because he doesn't have the legal right to come in there and do these things. You got to enter into covenant. You got to get yourself translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. You understand, this is offensive to people, but it is the truth. I didn't believe it where I was saved, and if you're not saved and you're watching this, you probably won't believe it either. But if you either are a child of God or you're a child of the devil. There isn't any middle ground. Now that doesn't mean, when I say you're a child of the devil, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. You may be a good person, but you're still legally under his dominion. You're in his kingdom. Right. So God just can't do for you what he wants to do. Right. Any more than you can go over and spank the neighbor's kids. I remember when I said, they might need it, but it's not your place, right? All right, I remember when I was a kid, you know, living on Main Street in Petersburg, Indiana, And we had, of course, as a kid, it looked like a big hill. You know, now it just, you know, looked like an anthill now, you know, a big anthill. But I remember as a kid sliding down that hill, man, just sliding down that hill right there on Main Street. You just slide down that hill. I'd go back up and slide down that hill, go back up and slide down. Well, I'm just sliding in my pants, man. I'm a kid. I'm 5. I don't care. And I'm just going down it. And the neighbor lady comes over, and she gets all over me for doing that. She gets all over me. I mean, she reads me the riot act for doing that. Well, here's the problem. She was probably right. I probably shouldn't be sliding down that hill, but it isn't her place to tell me that. Now, if I was playing out in the street, yeah, that would be different. She probably needs to step in. But I'm just gliding downhill. And I remember, you know, she got all over me. And I remember when Dad got home from work, he went over next door and straightened that out. Oh, yeah. My dad was like that, you know. And I remember one time we won't go there. Praise God. All right. Let's leave that story alone. There are some stories that are good to tell, and there are some that's probably best just left in the can, right? Amen. But, you know, now here's something else I want to say. All right, notice he said, verse 12, and you're strangers from the covenants of promise. Did you know you could be in the covenant and still be a stranger to it if you didn't know what it said? What did God say? He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's Hosea 4:6. But Isaiah 5:13, he said, my people go into captivity because they don't have any knowledge. See, if you don't know what belongs to you, you can't be a partaker of it. You got to know, see. See, that's one of the things that's been my ministry for all these years is God raised me up and called me to preach to people their redemption. And I did a lot more of that. I mean, you know, years ago, I just stayed on redemption, basically, you know what I'm saying? And so I never thought of it this way until one time I was preaching at a conference one time, and when I got done, and it was a big conference, and when I got done, I sat down, and one of the preachers on the front row, he said to me, he said, you're a redemption preacher. He never heard me speak, and we just were kind of, that day, just getting acquainted. Well, that's what I want to be, a redemption preacher. Hallelujah. And that's what see he's talking about. If you're a stranger from the covenant, you're with you know. Listen, even though God's on your side, and even though you're in covenant with God, if you don't know what He said, you don't have any hope in that area. You know, there's people that are Christians that they get diseases and things, and they don't have any hope. They're no different than the world. They just like, I'm going to die, and there's nothing that can be done. And right, yeah. They go planning their funeral, and so forth, and all that. And, we're all going to die sometime, but we don't have to go that way, right? And so, but the reason why is they don't have any hope. They don't have any hope. And actually, in that area where they don't know their covenant, they're without God in that area. He's not able to help them because they don't know what belongs to them. So you could be in the covenant. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? You could be in the covenant and still be a stranger to it and still be without God and be without hope. Because you don't know what's said. Come on. Amen. Man, I've always got hope that I'm going to be healed. I've always got hope that my financial needs are going to be met. I've always got hope things are going to work out. Because I know the covenant. Sometimes they don't happen as fast as I'd like, but I know that's not God's fault.
That's right.
Whose fault is it? Well, it'd be me or the devil. One of us two, but it isn't God. You know, sometimes the devil holds things up. How many know that? He hinders things. You have to fight the good fight of faith, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then sometimes we just don't know enough.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Amen. We're not applying the word right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, thank God for mercy. God will, if we just stick with it, God will get it to us.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Just keep at it, man. He'll get it to you. Amen. So we don't want to be in this place where we're without hope and we're without God in the world. You don't want that, right?
Right.
Not especially today. I mean, you didn't want it any time, but especially today. Now, let's go to, I want to look at some scripture here. And let's go to Old Testament, Exodus chapter 24. Now, see, you understand when you see that in Ephesians that, you know, before you knew Jesus, you were without God, you were without hope in the world. You understand why David said what he said when he went up against Goliath. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. Now, what did that mean? Well, see, in that old covenant, part of the covenant, entering into the covenant, was that you were circumcised. And if you weren't circumcised, you weren't in the covenant. Amen. Now, so that's why he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. No, he said, what was he saying? This guy doesn't have a covenant with God. You're letting this guy defy the armies of God, and he's not even in covenant with God. And here we are. See, he was thinking right, wasn't he? He might have been 17, but his head was screwed on right. Right? And he's thinking, listen, here we are. You guys are hiding from this guy. You guys are afraid of this guy. I know he's a big hunk of beef, but he's an uncircumcised Philistine. David put it right, didn't he? He put it in the right place. He said, who is he to defy the armies of the living God? We're in covenant with God. And what did he say? He said, I'm going to take your head from you. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air, you and all of you. You talk about 17 years old, you talk about waxing bold. He not only told Goliath he's going to kill him, he said, I'm going to feed the whole host of the Philistines. I'm going to kill you all.
Yeah.
That's bold, isn't it, for a 17-year-old? I'm going to kill you all. You read that sometime in 1 Samuel 7. He didn't just say, I'm going to get, Goliath. I'm going to get the whole army. I'm going to feed you all. He said, you come at me, you know, the way you come with staves and sticks and a spear and all. He said, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Now, let's go here to Exodus 24. Come on, are you getting something tonight? Go to Exodus 24, verse 6. And this is when God made covenant with the people. When Moses was at Mount Sinai and he went up there and got the Ten Commandments, God makes covenant with them now. And in chapter 24, verse 6, it says, Moses took half of the blood, he put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. So see, they're making blood covenant with God right here concerning the words of the covenant. And now how many would like to go to church and get sprinkled with blood? Everybody say, thank God for the New Testament.
Yes.
But I want you to notice all the people were sprinkled with blood. They all had blood on them. Now, let's go to the New Testament, 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We're going to look at a few passages on this. Just read them. Comment maybe just a little. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go there. Got it? Verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. What did Peter just say? He said, you've been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, how many know? He knew exactly what he meant. He knew the Old Testament. He meant you've been sprinkled in blood covenant by the blood of Jesus. You're in covenant with God. Hebrews, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. And the writer of Hebrews is telling the people what all they've come unto in the new covenant. You know, the general, verse 23, the general assembly. Well, let's just read. This is really good. He said, verse 22, he said, but you're coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Thank God there's a heavenly Jerusalem coming we're going to live in. Amen. And to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to
to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel's. There it is again. We've been sprinkled by the blood, folks. What's that mean? Just like in the Old Testament where they sprinkled the blood on them and joined them to the covenant, in the Spirit, the blood of Jesus has been sprinkled on us to join us to this new covenant. God sees us as blood-sprinkled people.
Amen.
Covenant people. And he must wonder at times why we're not learning and finding out what we have. Amen. How many know sometimes you got to read to find things out? You know, my Phyllis and I were talking about this before the service. My truck does a funny thing with the CD player. I mean, it just does something that's kind of weird. And, you know, it'll play sometimes the CD behind the scenes. You don't even know it's on. You know, and it's like, and she was, we were talking about it before church tonight. And I thought, you know, and I said, well, if I read the book, I might find out why it does that. I might find out a lot of things about the truck. I've had on my to-do list for 3 years to read the truck manual. Read the truck manual. But it's just not as exciting as the Bible. But there's no telling what I could do if I knew what it did. Amen. You know, it does things that I don't know what it will do. But yet, if I read, everybody say read.
Read.
I read the manual. How many of this is God's manual? You got to read it to find out.
Right.
Hallelujah. And the more you read it, the more you find out. I remember when I first got saved, it was so exciting, man, finding out what belonged to me, what I had. I'm thinking, man, I didn't know this. Of course I didn't know this. I just thought you got saved. You were going to heaven. That's all there was to it. But I found out there's a whole lot of benefits along the way.
Right.
Heaven's one of the greater benefits, but there's a lot of other benefits along the way. So, now he said this blood, it speaks better things than Abel's. Well, I guess so. Abel's blood spoke vengeance. Amen. Wrath. But Jesus' blood speaks redemption. Hallelujah. Healing, deliverance, covenant. Hallelujah. All right, go to Isaiah. I'm going to look at two more scriptures. But I want to read one more scripture about this sprinkling. We're sprinkled by the blood. We're in covenant with God, just like they were in the Old Testament. I mean, the Old Testament was the type. This is the reality. This is much more powerful than that was. Glory be to God. Isaiah, verse 13 of Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Did I tell you to go to the 52nd chapter? Well, how come you're there? You're in the Spirit. Yeah, he already knew it. You just try to teach preachers something they don't know. You know, it's just like, just act like you don't know it, Pastor Jerry. Isaiah 52, go there, verse 13. Behold, my servant, talking about Jesus, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were, the King James uses an old English word, astonied. You might say astonished, but it just means to be dazed. They were dazed at you. His visage or his form was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He's talking about Calvary. Jesus was beaten so bad, his visage was marred more than any man. So shall he sprinkle many nations. See, there it is. Many nations. There's going to be a lot of nations, a lot of people from all over the world getting covenant with God. They already have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And so I want you to see that. Everybody say, I'm sprinkled. See, that's important that we know that in the Spirit we're sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. God sees that. Just like if you'd have been there when Moses sprinkled blood on the people and they came out after that service, you would have seen people with blood, just drops of blood all over them, splattered all over them. Well, God sees us in the Spirit. We're sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something else. The devil sees the same thing. Hallelujah. He knows, actually, he knows more about our victory than a lot of believers do. R.W. Schombach, great preacher that's in heaven now, but he was a great tent preacher. How many ever heard Brother Schombach preach? You know, he's the one that, you know, made famous. You don't have any troubles. All you need is faith in God. And so, you know, he said that, you know, he worked with a tent preacher by the name of A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen was known for casting out demons. You know, demons are real. And so Brother Schombach said, he was talking about his time one time with A.A. Allen. He said, you know, he said, I worked with Brother Allen. And he said, Allen, Brother Allen cast out more devils than anybody I knew, you know. And he said, you know, one night this lady came to the tent, and she was definitely demon-possessed. And, you know, they tried to get her delivered, and you know, she wasn't totally free. Time they got done. And so the next night, she was back, you know. And Brother Allen saw her. And Brother Allen told Schombach, he said, because Brother Schombach worked for Brother Allen, he said, I don't have time to fool with her tonight. He said, you go take her and you get the devil cast out of her. And Brother Schombach said to Brother Allen, he said, oh, no, I'm not the devil caster out around here. That's you. That sounds like Christians, doesn't it? But Brother Allen said to Brother Schombach, he said, I don't have anybody working for me that can't cast out devils. Now you get back there and cast the devil out of her. So he got some other people. He said this went on trying to get this demon out of her for about 2 hours. He said, back and forth, back and forth. He said, I was wore out. You know, sometimes that devil, you know, he knows. I mean, he knows when you know and when you don't know, right? And so, you know, the more you know, more authority you walk in, more power you have, the more he knows that, you know. And so anyway, Brother Schombach said, you know, he said, I said everything I know to say, did everything I know to do. He said, finally, I said, I want to remind you what my elder brother did to you 2,000 years ago. He said, when I said that, that demon spoke to that woman and said, no, don't say that. He said, I got him. I got him. See, the devil knows he was royally whipped at Calvary. And he knows how powerful the blood is. And he knows those that are sprinkled by the blood have a lot more power than they know or than they walk into. But that's changing, everybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I believe this year is one of the years that's going to start changing for a lot of people. They're going to start walking in more power. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the devil knows we're blood-bought people.
Yep.
We used to sing a song, Blood-Bought Church. Wow, powerful song. Now, I want you to close with me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Did you get something out of this tonight?
Yeah.
Just talking about our covenant with God and the fact that we have a covenant with God, which is a lot of, really, you know, I'm not saying this because I'm preaching it, because a lot of you knew it before I ever preached it tonight, but I'm just saying this. You and I are privileged people that we hear what we hear.
Right.
We really are.
Right.
Because there are a plethora of churches in our city, they have no idea they're redeemed. They have no idea they have a covenant of God. Yet they carry around, most of them don't carry around a Bible any longer. You know what I'm saying? They don't even teach the Bible in their services. But thank God, you go to a place, we still open the Bible.
Right.
We still tell you what it says. Amen. Whether it pleases us or it doesn't please us. Amen. Come on. You know, Dr. Barclay said one time when he was a younger preacher, Dr. Lester Sumrall called him one night after he said, I preached, and after the service, he said, Dr. Sumrall called me. He said, what are you doing, Mark? He said, well, I just got done preaching, Dr. Sumrall. He said, did you make anybody happy? Yeah. You make anybody cry? Well, there might have been a tear or two. He said, did you make anybody mad? He said, well, that doesn't seem to be a problem that I have. He said, Dr. Sumrall said, son, that's good preaching. See, God's word will do a lot of things to you, right? It'll make you shout. It'll make you go, ouch. Sometimes it might even make you mad. Amen. Someone said one time, you know, the truth will make you free. I mean, who said that? Jesus said that. Glad you knew that. Praise God. All right. But somebody said one time, you know, the truth will make you free, but it might make you miserable first. Because, you know, you see, you got to change, right? Now, where did I tell you to go? Some said second, some said first. 1 Corinthians? Go to 2 Corinthians. Go there. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. Let's go. Yeah, they're good books, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 3, and we're going to close right here because this will be it for tonight. And then next Wednesday, Dr. Barclay's seminar will be going on. So we're going to enjoy that. Praise God. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul said, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." In other words, we got anything, we got it from God, "who hath also made us able," amen, or sufficient, "ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Notice he said, God's made us, notice what he said, God has made us able ministers of the new covenant. So what are ministers supposed to be ministering?
The new covenant.
The new covenant. The new covenant. Now listen to me. Now here's we got to watch this in the church, and I see this happening too much now. We're not ministers of politics. Now that doesn't mean we don't ever talk about that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But that's not our number one calling. Our number one calling is minister of the new covenant.
Right?
I mean, there are sermons now on mask. M-A-S-K. Mask. I've got deeper things to talk about. What do you think about wearing masks, Pastor? Well, the Lone Ranger wore one. He lived. Do what you want to do. Right? What do you do about a mask? I don't wear a mask. Now, you know, if I go into a store and they say you got to have a mask, and I put a mask on. Why is it so quiet in here? I mean, it's like the church is like off on topics, and it's like they're majoring on things right now. Have no power. Politics doesn't have any power. The covenant has power. There's ministers, they spend their whole ministry preaching about the denominational doctrines. Denominational doctrines have no power. God's word has power. There's a whole plethora of preachers today in America that all they do is give motivational speeches. They don't preach the New Testament. They don't preach the word. Now you feel good when you get done, because, you know, they've made you feel good, but it's just all on a mental level. There's no spiritual power to it. Amen. The Word of God produces power in your life. And we're to be ministers of the new covenant. Well, I'm supposed to be preaching out of the book. The covenant book. A guy, a pastor, one of the RPN pastors, Righteous Preachers Network pastors, Preacher Network I'm a part of, he told Dr. Barclay, he said, you know, I had a couple leave my church. And he said, the reason they gave me for leaving was that I preached out of the Bible too much. Well, how do you help a couple like that?
You don't.
You just say, well, all right, go find some place where they preach the Reader's Digest. Hallelujah. There's lots of good stories. There used to be. I don't know. There might not be today. Used to. A lot of good stories in the Reader's Digest. Man, I've read stuff in the Reader's Digest. Made me, you know, we used to read it years ago. It may not be any good now. You know how everything's degraded and all. But, you know, when Phyllis and I first got married, she'd got the Reader's Digest. And, you know, I'd read some of those stories. And some of them were good stories, you know, and all. And I've read some interesting things out of it, you know. But none of it produced any spiritual power in my life. Wasn't anything wrong with it, but no power. Isn't that right? Some things don't produce any power. You know, you kiss your mother-in-law. That doesn't produce any power. If it does, there's something wrong with you. When you kiss your sister, it doesn't produce any power. But when you kiss your wife, power. Come on, man, say amen. I mean, I'm giving you a chance to gain some points here, and you're like, it's too stupid to do it or something. Amen. Produces power.
Amen.
Why? It's supposed to produce power. Mm-hmm. See, there's some things in life, there's nothing wrong with them, but they don't produce any power. And there's a lot of preaching going on now. It doesn't produce any power. It doesn't change anybody's life. It may get them stirred up emotionally. It may cause them to become activist.
Nothing wrong with any of that, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to preach the new covenant. If I went to a church and they preached about politics every Sunday, I wouldn't be there long. I come to this, it's called the sanctuary. You know, I'd like to get away from all of that for a while. How about come to the house of God and let's hear about how great God is? Hallelujah. That doesn't mean there's not times we don't have to address things. Of course we do. Amen. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to be ministers of the new covenant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I think that's where some of the power's gone in the church, is we've quit producing power because of what we've been preaching on. We need to get back to preaching on the, and I'm not saying that we as, I'm just talking about us as a whole, the church, the body of Christ. We need to get back to preaching things that produce power. And this, my friend, knowing you have a covenant with God, that produced some power in my life when I got saved. When I found that out, I thought, oh my gosh, where have I been? It answered a lot of questions to me. It answered to me, why, you know, why God doesn't do this? Why doesn't God, you know, heal this person or heal that person? Or why does God let babies starve over here? Well, He's not. He's really not. He'd love to help them, but He has to have an avenue to get in and help them. Amen. And besides that, He told us to go do something about that. Didn't He? I'll tell you what God thinks about poverty. He said, get rid of it. Didn't He? What did He tell them? He told them to help the poor. Bless the poor. Not the lazy, the poor. There's a huge difference between lazy and poor, right? Poor people have just had misfortune in their life. You know what I'm saying? And there are people, you know, I've preached down at the mission before here in town. And you quickly, you know, I've been down there several, I've been for quite a while, but therefore I went every now and then go preach to the mission. And, you know, you get to talk to the guys afterwards, after the meeting and all. And you learn real quickly, there's two classes of people here. There are people here because they want to be here. This is the lifestyle they've chose. Right? They just chose to live this way. That's their deal. That's their business. But then there are people that I ran into that they just had mishaps. They had misfortunes. They had things go wrong, maybe medical bills and issues, and maybe lost their job. And this, you know, it just wasn't like they didn't see this coming. They didn't plan on this. Those are the people Jesus said, help. Amen. There's other people, they don't want any responsibility. They don't want to work. And that's okay, but don't ask me to help you. You know, because you're not poor. You're poor, but you choose to be that way. Anybody ever see Andy Griffith? Anybody ever heard of the Andy Griffith Show? Well, if you've come here, I talk about it every Sunday. That's where I get my sermons. Amen. Have you ever seen the one where Opie and his men, his friends, had that hobo, ran into that hobo and became their friend, you know? Yeah. You know, the guy with the bum leg? Yeah. He had like something wrong with the intulio obligala or something like that with his leg or that. You know, and so, yeah, Opie and all their men, they're taking food to him. I mean, he's living high on the hog. He's living out in the woods, but Opie and his friends saw him out there in the woods, and they're just feeding this guy. They're giving him ham and turkey and pies and everything, hot dogs and root beer. You know, this guy's feasting like a king, you know. And he doesn't want Opie's dad, the sheriff, to know about it because, you know, the sheriff of Nottingham was a bad guy. And that's Robin Hood for those of you that aren't educated, all right? Anyway, so, you know, Andy finds out about it, and him and Barney go down there, and, you know, and Opie's like, I wish he wasn't sheriff. You got to be mean about it. He says, well, I'm not going to be mean about it. So they go down there and offer him a job, you know. So they got a different job, you know. We can get you a job. Oh, I got a bum leg. You know, oh, bum leg. Well, Andy said, we could get you a night job as a watchman. You could sit down. Oh, that night air, it's damp, goes right to the bone. Bad for the leg. Every job they came up with, he had a reason why it was his leg, you know. And so finally, Andy kind of let him know around about, wait, well, we got a nice place for you to stay, talking about the jail. And the guy took off running. You know what? There wasn't anything wrong with his leg. He just didn't want to work. He's not poor. He just chose to be that way. But God said, eradicate poverty. Real poverty. Get rid of it. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.